not karma. It is not karma. And for this responsible job, this kind of responsible mission, you must take responsibility for getting rid of that trash, that garbage, that burden that you carry around with you. When you decide you're sick and tired of bearing the guilt for simply being, that'll be 99% of it. Refuse longer to accept that burden. You mothers who feel like you've got to do for, or you're going to have this guilt trip. Why? Most of you, if you're married, I'll bet you that husband, even if he dirtied every pot and pan in the kitchen, could feed himself. But he will say, I haven't eaten all day. Well, why didn't you? Where your mouth is right there. And the next breath is, honey, there is so much stuff in this refrigerator. Couldn't you clean it out? Yeah, why didn't you eat it yesterday when you were starving? And then you do the same thing to him in a different way. You want to pass this guilt around. And the first thing you want to do when you make the transition out of the body, now what's happened? You've not got the body to help you carry around this burden. So what are you going to do? You're going to get to the other side and dump it, aren't you? On the first good little energy that comes along, and you hope he looks like Jesus. Because he's nice. He offers. I'll take it. And, oh, brother, are you willing to give it? So you're going to have to, before we're through, stop getting hung up on these kinds of things. Because you need to know how that other dimension works. And you need to know how these higher energies become both your guides and your bloodsuckers. These energy forms feed off of the energy that you give off. And what you are stuck with is a recycling of this guilt and fear, guilt and fear, guilt and fear. And so somebody comes along and you've got all this guilt and fear, and they come up with some kind of an extremely unreasonable scenario. Like, well, we'll murder this guy and we'll cut him open and we'll let him bleed all over everything, and now he'll take all those burdens from you. Now, isn't that reasonable? Well, from now on, I won't be arrogant and prideful. I'll be humble and modest. And then I will either get rid of my burden or I will bear it in silence. Well, sometimes this bearing in silence is the loudest racket you can make. Everybody knows when you're suffering. And there's no point in it, is there? We have a joke about a fellow out here in the wind business. This was the biggest, most immature child in an adult body I've ever encountered. Spoiled, wealthy family, old family, and just totally out of control. Playboy. Squander, but always daddy's money, you know. And so he would just have a fit over everything. And if he could have a fit in the middle of the office with everybody present, it was wonderful. He would practically do his dance up and down and stamp his feet and everything. And then this one day, he told on himself. Oberly called, and I don't know, something wasn't going quite right, and he got mad at Oberly. And there was silence on the phone for a little bit, and he said, damn, I would really have a fit, but I'm here alone. It didn't take too long for him to understand what he said. Any more than, if you're not guilty, don't put on these shoes. But I don't see anyone in the room that is not guilty. There isn't even any point in a little child having a tantrum against mother. The mother isn't there. Or couldn't care less about his tantrum. And you do that all the time to each other. It's the guilt trip. The Khazars are extremely good at this. It's the the controlling factor? Fear. Fear of deprivation of love. And therefore, if you could all just know that you are loved. You are loved unconditionally. I, Hatan, as old and tired as I am loved unconditionally. And I can reflect that to you. But you don't have to take my reflection of that. You can accept that if you would. But know that you are loved by your Creator totally without condition. But it also is assumed that you will grow into responsibility. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you just as much as he watches you have your silly tantrum. It's just that he knows that eventually you will outgrow it and come into maturity. And then you have to take a larger piece of responsibility, especially you ones who are always walking through this emotional guilt trip, that you should be doing more. I should. Why should you? Who created the word should? If you take the burden, then it's your problem. You don't have to take the burden. If Mary Jo didn't come home and give you ample time to make her dress or hem her skirt, and you have been kind enough and gracious enough to do it, why should you feel guilty if she doesn't get to wear that skirt? She'll get it to you in time the next time, and you will be free of guilt. I want to do some meetings on this subject. I don't want these crappy little subjects that we have to take up one against another. We need to learn how to get rid of this confounded guilt trip you're on and let go of this karma that you owe some ancient beingness. All you have to do is have one incorrect channel and you're trying to atone for sins that you didn't commit. Maybe you were not Cleopatra, after all. And you don't have to be Jesus Christ. There was one of those. So you don't need to die on a cross. That's been done. Quit trying to take somebody else's business. And let go of this guilt that you carry. Because your adversary is going to entrap you through fear. And it's very, very effective. And with God, there is no fear. That's how you know when you believe, is when you can't turn it over and let go of it. Please.
I don't
need
to interrupt.
Please interrupt.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here. I read the first journal that Don Rhoda gave me, and that's all I needed. I came here, I live in San Pedro, and basically, for me, this has been my life's purpose as well. It's very, very difficult to speak the truth.
Yes.
Once you become aware of your cosmic connection, and you find this purpose within you to connect with others, that you feel this is within you, a need that they also be acknowledging this information.
Yes.
You confront yourself to these people, whether they're your loved ones, whether they're your friends. You're putting yourself in a situation that you have to be strong, because anyone that accepts this truth, this cosmic truth, this oneness, this unity, you must let go of your ego, of your pride. You have to stand firm on your belief. And no matter what obstacles that come in the way, your faith has to be number one. That means the loss of your family members, your friendships, perhaps people that you care very much for, that you want them to bring them into this. You may lose them. I lost every single one in my family. Beginning with my mother, my aunt, uncles, everyone. My daughter, when I started coming forth and speaking about these cosmic truths. I was awakened in 1987 with visions, dreams, and these I had since I was a child growing up. I didn't understand them. Growing up all my life having UFO visions, the changes in the planet, the tidal waves, the earthquakes, you name it. Since a child I've been going through these. As an adult in 1987, the visions were totally clarified. And I became totally dedicated in spreading this, regardless of the obstacles. You feel very alone in this, very much alone. But the comfort is that you're not alone. Wherever you go, if you touch one individual in a room full of people, you have done your job well. One individual. It is but a handful throughout the planet. If they are touched, you have done your job. You feel this that is within you. Whatever you feel that is within you that you must do, do it. That's all I have to say. The one fear that I had was losing my daughter. I only have one daughter. In the beginning, she was very much understanding of what was happening in the vision. Then as she was maturing and becoming a teenager, the negativity around her, the social surroundings, that bombardment from the television, the music, whatever is bombarding young people on this planet, totally affected her. She was a very loving, spiritual human being. She was assisting me, going with me to meetings, participating. And I found myself that was my only love, my daughter, it was like battling an evil force in your own home. Someone that you truly love, you become, it becomes a barrier. And you try so difficult to bring that child into this awareness. And there comes a time that you have to let go, no matter how painful it is. And the time has come on the planet for all parents. You educate your children, you bring them into this awareness. It is their free will, all, to accept or to reject, and you're going to call the fountain of that decision. No matter how hard it is, each one in this room has a purpose, has a mission, and that voice inside of you is going to carry you through. The last vision that I have that I wish you, Brother Hatton, to clarify for me. This was last week. I saw the ocean, and the ocean was heavy with petroleum black substance. The whales and the sea lions and the dolphins were all like in a nervous panic, and they kept jumping in and out of the ocean water, and they were all covered with this. What bothers me is that this vision of the oceans and of the oil spills and of the loss of the marine life happened to me before the Exxon oil spill. 3 nights in a row I had the vision when this occurred, another oil spill. Now it bothers me because it again has occurred this last week. And I felt helpless. Helpless because I feel that there needs to be more gatherings like this. There needs to be more people coming together to assist one another, to support one another. One individual is very difficult to do it alone. You have to come together in greatness. You have to come together in voice. You have to voice your opinions, and you have to come in unison to support one another and carry this through. I would like to know what I can do, in what form of assistance I can help this group, in what form I can assist others, where others can come to me and assist me and support me. Can I ask for your assistance and your guidance?
You can ask me. I have to answer, which may seem a little bit blunt, but I can't just pass out assignments. We even tried that a little bit here as the impact would come. I have to back up, and you said everybody has something to do. Everybody would like to be told what that is. unfortunately, most ones would like to be told what it is so that if it doesn't work out, they can say, well, I wasn't sure about that, but I was told to do this. So it's an inner guidance sort of thing that you have to be sure you understand who you ask and where you expect an answer. If you ask, I will always take it. It does not necessarily mean, and it's going to mean less and less and less, that I will answer through this speaker's mouth. We don't have the kind of programming here that I don't know who to compare with, because most of your speakers or channels are literally for entertainment value only, that eventually you will be able to see through that. And I don't even want to be in the position of discounting those ones. One wants me to, what do you think of Bashar? What do you think of Elijah? What do you think of Athena? Well, I don't think. You must think. Well, but I trust your judgment. Well, you must have thought something of them, and at some point you must have trusted them. And yet you didn't trust them quite enough not to ask me. You see. Now, you might very well go ask them what they think of Hatton, and maybe the best 3 out of 4 you'll take. But not really. You're not going to really accept it until it's comfortable in the pit of your stomach. And the reason that I tell you ones that there's no shortcut to truth is there are almost 60 books now. And I can't, if you have left out any one of them, I cannot say, oh, you've got it all. And yet I too am embarrassed to say, well, I can't speak to you till you go and read them all. But I will guarantee this, if you read them, by the time you get through with them, you will have had a quadruple college education, especially if you take time to understand them, and you will know. You will know without any question whether this is truth or not. And that's where it has to be, within you. And I cannot pick jobs. Our major job right now, as far as Dharma is concerned, and here is another problem, you see, that is confronting, is every time someone says, in this pile of mail here, this is the common thread. I do believe, and I want to serve. You know what I can do. Tell me. No, I don't. And it doesn't matter if I did. You have to know what it is that you want to do and seize the moment if it comes. Whether it be here or somewhere else is immaterial. Ones want to be here for exactly the reason that you said. You want to be near, or what you feel nearer the truth. And you feel nearer it here because you found it. And you do want to touch out, reach out. And for goodness sake, you've gone a lifetime without being able to touch anyone. They turn from you. And yet, were they valid? You say, well, but I speak of my daughter, and it must be something I did. Or she would understand. No. Each is individual. And you can beat yourself over the head and say, well, I never should have let them listen or watch. You didn't know any better. And yet you want to assume the responsibility that the whole world doesn't have truth. I have terrible news for you. The majority of the world will never find it. They don't want it. They will deny it. And sometimes you're going to find it right in your own dooryard. Those are your testings. Can you release that? Can you allow them enough to respect them enough to let them make their own errors? Because the harder you try to keep them from making their errors, the more they're going to defy you and turn you off. And they may never come back. And yet it's an honor to have you ones who want to come, to feel the energy, to see. And that's why I feel very remiss when you've made a journey that it has to be on such a family level, but that's all we are. You see, we don't have magnificent anything. Our job is to bring the word, and we do it to the very best of our ability as quickly as we can. And that means ones have to pick it up and do it. And yet all ones have to survive in the process, because that's also required. It's not a commune. And it's very hard to get these new concepts in mind. They're as old as the hills, but they become a new concept because you've been sold a bill of goods. Jesus just went from place to place, and he was accepted, and they took him in. You have to worry, and God said, don't worry about your clothes or your food. I mean, he feeds the sparrows. How many of you dealt with little sparrows? They get busy. And certainly, the lily doesn't need any gilding, but the lily is clothed in its lily. You're clothed too. But that's unacceptable, so you've got to find clothes to put on your body. And you should not expect your neighbor, who would probably rather look at you without your clothes, to get them for you. That comes if for some reason you cannot get them for self. And if each one went out to do for brothers, as in the Indian tradition, for all my relations, Mitakyasam, for all my relations, and each prayer that you pray is for your brother and for his receiving, you will find it amazing how much you receive. And so that transition does happen if you keep that in your heart. If you do not release the guilt and the burdens that you carry, there's not room for God to fill it up. You've got to empty that cup, or there's no room to put more in. And if you just contaminate the new coming in with the old that is spoiled, what have you gained? So you've got to empty, and you've got to release that which has already filled that up, if it's negative, and allow God to fill it. And you can get that kind of brotherhood here, as far as that's concerned. I would hope that within the group that's gathered right here, you would be able to find someone to speak with and share with, because I know I do too get lonely to talk to you as my brothers. Some of the most remarkably pleasant times I've had, Norman said, I smell like ivory soap, and I'm a little bit off my duty call, and we can sit back and usually talk about your homosexual. I really enjoy my brothers. I really enjoy sitting back without having to be commander, without having to do any responsibility as such, as teacher, and discuss problems, philosophy. Where do we go from here? What do we do on this project? This is what you will be enjoying as you go into the higher intelligence levels. You won't be so preoccupied with the assumptions of Earth, because you are assuming, and your enemy is telling you how it is, and you're assuming to be correct, and that's the way you act. And anything that steps out there and stops that easy flow is going to get knocked over, if they can knock you over. And of course, when it comes from your own family, it is devastatingly painful. And yet you can release it. You truly can. It doesn't mean that you become a battering ram. That is not even respectable. Do not let them walk on you. And maybe you go back to say, why are you here today after the earthquake? Why did you come to me? I have nothing to offer you except the same thing that I told you before, and you chose not to listen. And then it gets into, nanny, 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 I told you so, which doesn't help either. So we have to mind our tongues. I think maybe the most devastating weapon ever created was the human tongue. The pen is powerful. At least it was when one could read.
In going out at night, I have such an appreciation of that nighttime sky and its beauty and the wonder that it holds. And looking up at the strobes and the many starships that are in that sky, I can't help but wonder how, from up where you are, looking down on Urshan, how do we appear to you? And secondly, in focusing in on a particular craft, and have them acknowledge us with the little wonderful space ballet that they do. Of all the craft that's up there, how do they know which one we are focusing on? Is it through our thoughts? Is it through light? How is this done?
It's basically a photon energy. You are acknowledging, and they are receiving. It's frequency. And it's like ringing a bell. And basically looking down on Earth, it's a very dark planet. You may get some lovely reflections from sun and light and moon, but the energy radiation of beings on the planet, its aura, is very, very dark. And every energy form in communication sticks out like a sore thumb, so to speak, a flare-up, a lamp. It's very easy. And that is a question that is asked in this pile of letters here, so I can answer it. Do they witness you looking at them? Absolutely. And very frequently, if you want to save a little time and sing your little ballet, just let them know that you're going to go outside. Let them know which door you're going to go out, and they'll be a little bit better prepared. It takes a minute. When you see one shoot somewhere that may look like an inch to you, they are going millions of miles. When you see something that looks like waves, that means they're down into your atmosphere and they're riding the energy waves. If you see one shoot and leave a comet trail, they're in your atmosphere and the particulate is heated and forms that comet tail. Out at great distance, when you see a silver light move from here to there, sometimes your eye picks up a little bit of a trail, but it is not like the comet trail. It is, and then very frequently, it is just a silver bullet that goes and stops. That is outer space, and there is no particulate to pick up that comet spray. So there are all sorts of ways of analyzing what you are looking at. You will find that the Bethlehem, for instance, or the ship that was, oh my, as we come into service at this time, the original ship Bethlehem is a very golden star, very golden. And that's all it will be. You can look at it till your eyes cross, and it's going to be golden. You may get flare-ups of light, but it will be simply golden. As it got closer and closer, began to make our major connections with you, that craft or that place, that orb was left right exactly where it was to orbit, retaining the golden glow, the golden light. That will be a stopping off place. You can look out there, and when you see the golden stars, those are interim residences, if you will. The major mother ship leaving those places then took on the name of those places, so that the Bethlehem craft, mother craft, which is the one that I talk of now as the Phoenix and being larger than your planet, is a very brief interim place. And it will house literally all of the inhabitants of Earth. If we could lift everybody off in God's name today, we could house all of you. But not permanently, not in balance. So these other places become your next stop on back home, so to speak, depending on your soul growth. Then you will have the command ships. We also call my command ship the Phoenix, because I am in command of what is will be recognized as the Phoenix Project. You're going to find that the Cherokees have a logo just exactly like yours, only across the top of it it says protection. Ours has a starburst coming out from the chest of the Phoenix bird. And that is the designation that says we are the Phoenix Star People. You are the protectors, or you were sent as the original stewards. And then there are other designations. So you have a whole history of pictures. Impossible to misinterpret if you know what you're looking for. You're from what you call the bird tribes. That only means the tribes from the sky. And the Phoenix is, of course, the epitome, the highest ranking bird. And then you have eagles and all of these other things that mean something, code names, if nothing else. So as you get down to making real connections, you need to know what those connections are. And therefore they will be named and numbered, etc., so that you can follow them in logical sequence. And most of those ships that strobe those colored lights or the rainbow lights are acknowledging the fact they are Pleiadian. They come as in service to the host fleet, even if they're not from Pleiades. But most of the ones that are connecting with you now are your brothers, and they are making those particular light sequences for your recognition.
Now, unless there's some really urgent questions, I would like to adjourn this and let us watch that bit of motion picture, and let's have some inner discussion about those things. You need to host a meeting here next weekend, one of the most important one meetings that you will ever experience. So whoever volunteers to do something, it will be expected that you do it, not just volunteer. I cherish you. I cannot do it alone. It is not mine to do. You are the hands and the feet. And whether or not you like me, precious ones, you're stuck with me, because I will not relinquish my command. I serve a higher, and that one's coming back to claim his kingdom. And I'm going to prepare a place. And you're the other half of that preparation team. And I salute you. And I bid you good afternoon. And I ask you to keep your bungee cords hooked. And I ask you to be patient about the Philippines while all the political nonsense is somehow sorted out. I hate to tell you that Mr. Ross Perot is tangled up in the Philippines with Mobil Oil and Vietnam, the Subic Bay. The very docks at Subic Bay are being towed away and are now in Vietnam. Nothing is as it appears. Be diligent. Don't stop. And don't despair. God's delays are not God's denials. Salud.
If I did that, I can talk about a few things here that we could reason a little bit together with and maybe get a little bit of comfort in putting together the pieces as they might be planning things. I don't anticipate that they would be using, for instance, nuclear warheads in little equipment. if they can maintain control without using nuclear devices, that would be their preference. On the other hand, you are absolutely right. Part of your major, major problem in any circumstance is what in the world do you do with the contamination caused by dead bodies? Because your enemy now has some tricks that really are more deadly than almost anything else that you could offer the people. And that is that along with the death rays can be the introduction of disease. So that as the bodies begin to decay, the disease spreads. It spreads anyway. There have been massive, massive movements of just what you would call traditional warfare weapons. Now, of course, this is not the Civil War or World War I, so they're very sophisticated weapons still, but they're not nuclear warheads. Particularly, but you have to understand that they have new strains of virus. You see, when they were able to create the HIV virus, this left open all the doors. They can create now DNA structured anything. They can make very, very sophisticated viral smallpox when smallpox itself was not originally a virus. But it can be duplicated.